The training process. Effective biofeedback training is structured, purposeful, and context-dependent. Simply observing physiological data does not ensure behavioral change. The information must be embedded in a meaningful context, such as rehabilitation or stress management. The training process requires a combination of goal setting, interpreting feedback, providing behavioral instruction, and reinforcement. This transforms raw data into actionable insights that clients can use to enhance their health and performance. Sources of performance information and training range from sophisticated instrumentation to basic sensory cues. Clients can use proprioceptive signals, such as perceived hand warmth or breathing effort, to detect internal states even without equipment. Biofeedback devices enhance this awareness by offering precise, immediate, and often visual confirmation of these perceptions. Over time, clients learn to bridge external feedback with internal experience, moving towards self-sufficiency. The training process also emphasizes the importance of practice and repetition. As in other skill domains, mastery in biofeedback develops through gradual improvement and trial and error learning. Effective protocols often involve a progression from simple to complex tasks, with reinforcement delivered at each stage. Therapists play a key role in structuring this learning pathway, providing support and modifying goals to match client progress. Ultimately, training is not just about reducing a number or achieving a reading. It is about cultivating awareness, resilience, and adaptability. The process must be individualized, flexible, and evidence-informed, allowing clients to develop skills that they can generalize across settings and sustain without external support. In this way, biofeedback becomes a platform for enduring change rather than temporary improvement. Training is social. Biofeedback training is inherently social when delivered in a clinical setting. The therapist-client relationship shapes learning through communication, modeling, and emotional support. This relationship can enhance motivation, clarify feedback, and increase adherence to practice routines. Research has shown that trainer style, whether warm and informal or cold and detached, has a significant impact on training success. Clients respond more effectively when they feel supported, understood, and engaged. Social interaction also extends to group and family-based training formats, where interpersonal dynamics influence learning outcomes. Couples or group biofeedback can reinforce shared goals and provide mutual encouragement. In some cases, the presence of others enhances motivation and accountability, promoting more consistent practice and better generalization to real-world situations. Therapists function as personal trainers who guide clients through performance challenges and challenges to their personal growth. They demonstrate techniques, troubleshoot problems, and adjust reinforcement parameters to align with client readiness. The emotional climate of training sessions, including empathy, humor, and respect, can foster a sense of safety and collaboration that is essential for learning. In effect, the therapist becomes part of the feedback loop, offering social reinforcement in addition to instrument-based cues. The social dimension of biofeedback is often underestimated but is critical to client success. Just as in psychotherapy, the quality of the therapeutic alliance predicts treatment adherence and outcomes. Training is more effective when it occurs within a relationship that supports exploration, normalizes setbacks, and celebrates progress. This relational context transforms biofeedback from a mechanical intervention into a human-centered process of growth and transformation. Interbrain synchrony. Interbrain synchrony refers to the alignment of neural activity between two individuals during social interaction. In therapeutic settings, this phenomenon occurs when the therapist and client engage in mutual eye contact, exhibit coordinated speech patterns, and share similar emotional states. Brain imaging studies suggest that such synchrony enhances communication, trust, and emotional regulation. It provides a neurobiological explanation for the relational dynamics that influence learning and therapeutic outcomes. Biofeedback training provides structured opportunities for interbrain synchrony. For instance, as therapists guide clients through breathing exercises or body awareness tasks, their vocal tone, pacing, and nonverbal cues can entrain the client's nervous system. This mutual attunement fosters a sense of connection that enhances client receptivity and learning. The therapist's mindful presence reinforces the training goals and helps co-regulate client arousal states. Over time, repeated episodes of synchrony can lead to neuroplastic changes that enhance emotional resilience and cognitive flexibility. Clients who experience high levels of synchrony may find it easier to access self-regulation skills during stress, as the neural networks supporting those skills have been strengthened through relational engagement. This highlights the therapeutic value of attuned presence beyond verbal instruction. Understanding inter-brain synchrony deepens appreciation for the relational aspects of biofeedback. It underscores the importance of therapist authenticity, attentiveness, and shared focus. These qualities not only build rapport, but may also directly influence neural learning pathways. By fostering synchrony, therapists enhance the effectiveness of biofeedback, supporting both immediate performance and long-term neurobehavioral adaptation. Therapists should be credible models. Therapists must embody the principles they teach in biofeedback training. Clients are highly attuned to the behaviors, tone, and demeanor of their clinicians. A therapist who appears stressed, breathless, or disengaged may inadvertently model poor self-regulation, undermining the credibility of the intervention. In contrast, therapists who consistently demonstrate calmness, attentiveness, and mindful awareness validate the training and increase client trust in the process. Modeling is not limited to verbal instruction. It also includes nonverbal cues, such as posture, tone of voice, and facial expression. Clients often learn through observation and imitation, particularly in the early stages of training when they are unsure how to respond to feedback. Therapists who embody the psychophysiological states they promote, such as relaxation, focus, or balance, create a living example of the training's efficacy. Personal practice also enhances therapist competence. Clinicians who engage in their own self-regulation routines are better able to empathize with client challenges and offer informed guidance. This deepens their understanding of the learning curve and increases the relevance of their coaching. Moreover, self-aware therapists are less likely to convey unintended signals of stress or disengagement, ensuring that their presence consistently supports the training process. In short, credibility is grounded in congruence between the therapist's words and actions. Clients are more likely to commit to biofeedback when they see it working in the life of the professional guiding them. Practicing what one teaches not only enhances outcomes, but also promotes ethical, engaged, and reflective practice. Therapists should be good personal trainers. An effective biofeedback therapist functions much like a skilled personal trainer, assessing needs, setting realistic goals, modeling correct technique, and providing consistent encouragement. This approach emphasizes the instructional and motivational elements of training, recognizing that feedback alone is insufficient without context and guidance. Clients often rely on the therapist to clarify what specific changes in physiological data mean and how to achieve those changes through behavioral strategies. Personal training and biofeedback involves more than technical proficiency. It requires the ability to read client cues, adapt interventions in real time, and scaffold learning. Therapists must tailor their communication style and reinforcement techniques to match each client's learning stage and motivational state. They guide clients through increasingly complex challenges, providing support when needed and gradually reducing assistance as independence increases. The personal trainer model also prioritizes skill generalization. Therapists coach clients to use self-regulation strategies in diverse settings and under varying stressors. Just as a fitness coach prepares an athlete for competition, a biofeedback therapist prepares clients to apply their training in high-stakes, emotionally intense, or unpredictable environments. This requires flexibility, creativity, and a strong rapport. In this model, the therapist is not a passive observer, but an engaged partner in the client's learning journey. They demonstrate commitment, celebrate progress, and adjust techniques in response to setbacks. This dynamic, individualized coaching framework transforms biofeedback from a technical procedure into a human-centered, goal-driven training system that fosters long-term behavioral change. Client motivation is complex. Client motivation in biofeedback training is multifaceted, often influenced by psychological, relational, and contextual variables. Some clients enter training with high motivation, ready to engage in regular practice and apply the new skills they have learned. Others may struggle with ambivalence, internal resistance, or competing commitments. Motivation can fluctuate throughout the training course, particularly when progress is slower than expected or when external reinforcement is weak. Secondary gains can complicate motivation. Clients may unconsciously maintain symptoms that provide certain benefits, such as attention, sympathy, or avoidance of responsibilities. In such cases, the incentive to improve may conflict with the perceived advantages of remaining symptomatic. Additionally, some clients may identify strongly with their condition, making change feel threatening to their sense of self. Fear of failure or skepticism about the training process can further dampen engagement. Relational dynamics also play a role. In codependent relationships, significant others may reinforce illness behavior or subtly sabotage progress. Cultural beliefs, past experiences with medical systems, and expectations about therapy all shape how clients perceive biofeedback and its relevance to their concerns. Addressing these factors requires careful assessment, open communication, and sensitivity to the client's psychological landscape. Effective motivation strategies include focusing on client-selected goals, using symptom tracking to document progress, and fostering a sense of ownership over the learning process. By aligning training objectives with the client's values and life priorities, therapists can help resolve ambivalence and foster a deeper commitment. Motivation is not a fixed trait, but a variable that can be cultivated, sustained, and reawakened throughout biofeedback training. Assess and modify your client's motivation. Assessing and modifying client motivation is a proactive and essential component of successful biofeedback training. Therapists should begin by identifying the client's most pressing symptoms and collaboratively defining clear, measurable goals. When clients are asked to select and track three symptoms they wish to improve, they become active participants in their treatment. This process increases engagement, clarifies expectations, and establishes a framework for evaluating progress. Symptom tracking, using daily logs or rating scales, serves multiple functions. It provides objective evidence of improvement, reinforces the client's sense of efficacy, and helps detect patterns or triggers. When clients see a 25 to 35% reduction in symptom severity or frequency over time, they gain confidence in the training process and in their ability to produce change. This feedback loop enhances motivation and supports the learning process. Therapists can also use motivational interviewing techniques to explore ambivalence, resolve resistance, and enhance intrinsic motivation. Asking clients to articulate the benefits of change and the costs of staying the same can foster insight and strengthen their commitment to the change. Emphasizing autonomy and framing biofeedback as a collaborative effort further empowers clients and reduces defensiveness. When motivation lags, therapists should reassess goals, adjust reinforcement strategies, and validate the emotional demands of training. By demonstrating flexibility and attunement, they model the adaptability they hope to cultivate in their clients. Sustaining motivation is not about pushing harder, but about aligning biofeedback with each client's unique psychological and physiological journey toward health and competence. Clients should be active participants. Clients must actively participate in the biofeedback process for training to be effective. Unlike passive treatments, which involve receiving medication or stimulation, biofeedback requires active engagement, effort, and experimentation. Clients must attend to feedback cues, try out strategies, monitor their responses, and refine their techniques based on what they learn. This active participation fosters self-efficacy, the belief in one's capacity to produce change, which is critical for sustaining gains beyond the training setting. Active participation also involves taking responsibility for practice outside of sessions. Clients are encouraged to track symptoms, implement self-regulation strategies in real-life scenarios, and reflect on what helps or hinders success. This behavior reinforces learning and increases the likelihood of generalization. When clients are merely passive recipients of feedback, their skills often fail to transfer beyond the clinic. Therapists should clearly communicate the client's role from the outset and use educational materials, collaborative goal setting, and experiential exercises to foster a sense of ownership. The Schellenberger and Green Mastery model provides a useful framework, emphasizing coaching, encouragement, and graduated responsibility. Clients who understand that they are the primary agents of change are more likely to persevere through challenges and setbacks. Ultimately, biofeedback is not something that is done to the client. It is a process that unfolds with the client. Active participation transforms biofeedback from a mechanistic intervention into a dynamic, empowering method of self-regulation. It cultivates awareness, responsibility, and confidence, qualities that extend far beyond the physiological targets of training. Practice builds client success. Consistent practice is essential for mastering biofeedback skills and generalizing them to real-life contexts. Training sessions alone, often limited to 1 hour per week, cannot produce lasting change without additional practice between appointments. Clients must dedicate time to practicing and refining their skills so that they become automatic and resilient under stress. Just as athletes or musicians improve through repetition, so do clients learning to regulate physiological responses. Practice includes formal biofeedback sessions with portable devices, abbreviated relaxation techniques incorporated into daily routines, and deep relaxation exercises that help reset autonomic balance. Clients may also engage in self-monitoring to track progress and identify patterns in symptom occurrence. Each practice activity strengthens neural pathways associated with self-regulation and deepens the client's understanding of their internal state. The benefits of practice extend beyond symptom reduction. Clients who engage regularly develop greater emotional flexibility, improved stress tolerance, and enhanced awareness of the mind-body connection. These gains are cumulative and self-reinforcing. As clients see results, their motivation to continue practicing increases. Therapists can support this process by assigning clear, achievable tasks and reinforcing incremental successes. Importantly, practice builds independence. When self-regulation becomes habitual, clients no longer rely on external cues or equipment. They develop the confidence and competence to manage challenges as they arise. This shift from effortful learning to automatic response is a hallmark of successful biofeedback training, reflecting the integration of new skills into the client's broader behavioral repertoire. Biofeedback training should teach voluntary control. The ultimate goal of biofeedback training is to teach voluntary control over physiological processes that are typically automatic. Voluntary control is demonstrated when a client can produce a desired physiological change, such as warming the hands, relaxing a muscle, or slowing the breath, on command and without real-time feedback. This capacity signals mastery and reflects the successful internalization of self-regulation skills. Voluntary control depends on the balance between passive and active volition. Passive volition involves allowing physiological change to occur through relaxed intention, often associated with parasympathetic activation. Active volition, in contrast, involves commanding or striving, which can engage the sympathetic nervous system and counteract relaxation. Clients must learn when to apply each mode appropriately and avoid paradoxical strategies, such as trying to relax, which can backfire. Training should include exercises that alternate between passive and active volition. For instance, progressive muscle relaxation teaches clients first to contract actively and then release passively muscle groups, thereby developing awareness and control. This sequencing helps clients identify and reduce residual tension, building nuanced control over their bodily responses. Clients also learn to recognize the limits of conscious effort and the value of acceptance-based approaches. Voluntary control is not just about achieving physiological targets. It is about cultivating confidence in one's ability to influence internal states. This sense of agency is transferable and contributes to psychological resilience. Clients who master voluntary control are better equipped to manage stress, pain, and other challenges, making biofeedback not just a treatment, but a foundational life skill. Clients should use strategies that work for them. Effective biofeedback training acknowledges that clients differ in their ability to process information and acquire new skills. While some respond best to visual feedback or somatic sensations, others may benefit from imagery, auditory cues, or verbal affirmations. Encouraging clients to experiment with multiple strategies enables them to discover which techniques resonate most with their style. This flexibility enhances learning, respects individual differences, and increases the likelihood of success. Imagery, in particular, can be a powerful tool for self-regulation. Clients who visualize physiological changes, such as blood flowing to the hands or the heart beating more slowly, often find it easier to produce those changes in reality. These mental images serve as internal cues that guide behavior and provide a blueprint for change. Historical case studies, such as Luria's account of S, illustrate how vivid imagery can have a dramatic influence on autonomic functions, including heart rate. When clients are encouraged to select and refine their preferred strategies, their sense of agency increases. They feel more in control of their progress and are more likely to practice outside of training sessions. This self-directed learning promotes deeper engagement and enhances long-term outcomes. Therapists play a critical role by offering a menu of options, helping clients evaluate their effectiveness, and supporting the iterative process of refinement. Ultimately, biofeedback should not be a rigid protocol imposed on clients, but a collaborative exploration of what works. Personalized strategy selection respects the diversity of learning styles and acknowledges the client as an expert on their own experience. It transforms biofeedback into a tailored intervention that aligns with each individual's cognitive, emotional, and physiological strengths. Treatment protocols should incorporate current research findings. The latest scientific research must inform biofeedback protocols to ensure they are safe, effective, and aligned with evidence-based practice. This includes reviewing outcome studies, meta-analyses, and consensus guidelines to select appropriate modalities, training parameters, and reinforcement strategies. Resources such as evidence-based practice in biofeedback and neurofeedback offer clinicians comprehensive summaries of clinical efficacy across various disorders and modalities. Incorporating research findings enables practitioners to critically evaluate traditional assumptions and revise outdated treatment models. For instance, the long-standing belief that Raynaud's disease is primarily triggered by sympathetic arousal has been challenged by studies showing that local vascular mechanisms play a more prominent role. These findings suggest that bidirectional temperature training, combining warming and cooling, may be more effective than stress management alone for these clients. Evidence-based protocols also enhance credibility with clients, other healthcare providers, and third-party payers. When clinicians can explain the rationale for a specific intervention using data, they strengthen client trust and promote interdisciplinary collaboration. This scientific foundation also supports treatment planning, goal setting, and outcome tracking, enabling greater accountability and quality assurance. By integrating current research, biofeedback practitioners uphold the standard of care and avoid reliance on intuition or anecdote. This commitment to data-driven practice advances the field and ensures that clients receive the most effective interventions available. It reflects a professional ethos grounded in continual learning, critical thinking, and scientific integrity. Treatment protocols should be personalized. Personalized treatment protocols are crucial in biofeedback to accommodate the unique physiological and psychological needs of each client. Rather than applying uniform procedures, clinicians must assess individual baselines, response variability, and contextual factors that influence training outcomes. For example, two clients with hypertension may have very different autonomic profiles. One may exhibit excessive sympathetic tone, while the other shows delayed parasympathetic recovery. Each requires a distinct training strategy based on their specific psychophysiological pattern. Personalization extends to session structure, feedback modality, and learning pace. Clients differ in how quickly they acquire self-regulation skills and in which feedback displays they find most helpful. Some individuals may require detailed physiological explanations, while others respond better to metaphors or imagery. Additionally, the type and amount of reinforcement should be adjusted to match client preferences, progress, and motivational states. Personalization helps reduce dropout, enhances engagement, and supports the transfer of skills to real-world situations. In more specialized contexts, such as training astronauts or pilots to manage motion sickness, biofeedback protocols must be tailored to account for environmental stressors and individual susceptibilities. These high-stakes applications underscore the importance of thorough assessment and individualized feedback targeting abnormal physiological responses under specific conditions. Success depends on identifying dysregulated systems and tailoring feedback to optimize performance under pressure. By prioritizing individual differences, clinicians increase the clinical utility and effectiveness of biofeedback. Personalization reflects a client-centered philosophy that respects variability and promotes mastery. It transforms a standardized technique into a flexible intervention responsive to the complexity of human physiology and behavior. Length and number of training sessions. The duration and number of biofeedback training sessions should be determined by the client's learning trajectory rather than adhering to arbitrary limits. While research provides general benchmarks for specific conditions, such as 10 to 20 sessions for migraine or 30 to 40 for ADHD, individual progress varies widely. Training should continue until the client demonstrates consistent voluntary control and generalization to daily life. This means that some may reach mastery in fewer sessions, while others require extended support. Session length should also reflect the physiological demands of the modality. For instance, heart rate variability training often involves brief but focused practice, while neurofeedback may require longer sessions to train complex EEG patterns. Importantly, exceeding an optimal session duration, typically around 20 minutes of focused feedback, can lead to fatigue or reduced learning efficiency. Balancing session length with intensity and frequency is critical for maintaining motivation and maximizing skill acquisition. Clinicians must also consider practical constraints such as cost, scheduling, and treatment goals. A flexible approach might include intensive training early in the process, followed by less frequent maintenance sessions. Clients who demonstrate rapid progress may benefit from tapering sessions, while those facing more entrenched patterns may need ongoing reinforcement and troubleshooting. The goal is to optimize dosage in terms of learning outcomes, not session count. Research-informed, individualized session planning allows therapists to match treatment intensity to each client's capacity, resources, and symptom complexity. This adaptability reinforces the therapeutic alliance and ensures that training is sustainable, goal-directed, and efficient. Bidirectional training may produce the best outcomes. Bidirectional training involves teaching clients to both increase and decrease a physiological parameter, thereby enhancing flexibility and control. This approach contrasts with unidirectional training, where the focus is solely on increasing or decreasing a response. Bidirectional training fosters a deeper understanding of psychophysiological control and may enhance treatment outcomes by requiring more precise regulation and greater neural adaptability. In temperature biofeedback, for example, clients might practice both hand warming and cooling within the same session. This dual capacity can be critical in conditions like Raynaud's disease, where clients benefit from learning to modulate vascular responses under different environmental conditions. Similarly, in neurofeedback, clients may be trained to both upregulate and downregulate specific EEG frequency bands, such as increasing SMR and decreasing theta to enhance cognitive stability and attention. The advantage of bidirectional training lies in the increased demands it places on attentional focus, feedback interpretation, and volitional flexibility. It encourages clients to develop a nuanced awareness of internal cues and adjust their strategies in real time. This level of engagement can accelerate skill acquisition and promote generalization as clients become adept at shifting physiological states to match situational demands. Incorporating bidirectional tasks requires thoughtful session design and clear instructional support. It should be introduced after clients have achieved some baseline proficiency with unidirectional tasks. When appropriately timed and structured, bidirectional training can deepen competence, increase transfer, and reinforce the adaptive goals of biofeedback therapy. Training sessions should be spaced. Spaced training, distributing sessions over time, is generally more effective than mass practice, where sessions are tightly clustered. Spacing facilitates long-term retention and enhances generalization by allowing time for consolidation between learning episodes. In biofeedback, spaced sessions enable clients to apply new skills in their daily lives, encounter diverse stressors, and return to the next session with new data and questions. This iterative cycle enhances self-awareness and encourages adaptive refinement of techniques. Spaced practice also minimizes fatigue and cognitive overload, which can diminish the quality of learning. Clients need time to reflect on feedback, experiment with strategies, and integrate new behaviors into their routines. Frequent, high-intensity sessions may produce rapid gains in a controlled environment, but often fail to produce durable change unless reinforced by practical application. In typical biofeedback protocols, spacing might involve twice-weekly sessions during the early phase of training, followed by weekly or bi-weekly sessions as clients gain proficiency. This tapering approach supports the transition from dependence on the therapist and equipment to autonomous self-regulation. It also allows for periodic reassessment and adjustment of training goals based on observed outcomes. Spacing aligns with principles from cognitive psychology and behavioral neuroscience, which emphasize that learning is optimized through distributed exposure and active recall. In biofeedback, this translates to a schedule that balances continuity and reflection, enabling clients to develop sustainable self-regulation skills that persist beyond the training context. Generalization to life situations. Generalization is the transfer of learned biofeedback skills from the training environment to everyday situations. It is the hallmark of effective self-regulation and the ultimate objective of biofeedback therapy. Without generalization, clients may exhibit physiological control only during sessions but revert to maladaptive patterns under stress. Therefore, therapists must employ strategies that promote the application of learned skills in naturalistic contexts. Key techniques to enhance generalization include self-monitoring, symptom charting, and daily skill practice. Clients are taught to recognize internal cues that signal the need for regulation, such as tension, rapid breathing, or emotional reactivity. By practicing strategies like hand warming or paced breathing in real-life settings, they build fluency and confidence. Feedback devices with home use options can support this process, enabling clients to bridge the gap between the clinic and their context. Environmental modification and discrimination training further support the generalization of skills. Clients can alter physical or social environments to reduce triggers or facilitate practice. For example, a client might place reminder notes in high-stress locations or use sensory cues, such as temperature changes, to prompt regulation. Discrimination training helps clients apply the right skill to the right situation, such as using energizing techniques in the morning and relaxing techniques at night. Virtual reality and role play are advanced tools that simulate real-world stressors in a controlled setting, providing opportunities to practice skills with high ecological validity. Ultimately, generalization reflects a shift from performance under supervision to independent mastery. It confirms that biofeedback training has become a meaningful, integrated component of the client's self-care repertoire. Consider the 70-30 rule in adjusting performance goals. The 70-30 rule is a practical guideline for maintaining client motivation and optimizing challenge levels during biofeedback training. It suggests that when a client is successful more than 70% of the time, the task should be made more difficult to promote continued growth. Conversely, if success falls below 30%, the task should be simplified to prevent frustration and disengagement. This approach ensures that the difficulty of training tasks remains in the optimal range for learning. Many modern biofeedback systems incorporate this principle by automatically adjusting thresholds or targets based on recent performance. This dynamic feedback helps maintain engagement and personalizes the training experience, enhancing its effectiveness. For instance, if a client consistently exceeds heart rate variability targets, the system may raise the threshold to ensure that the challenge remains appropriately demanding. Therapists can also apply the 70-30 rule manually by reviewing performance data and modifying tasks accordingly. They may adjust pacing guides, feedback sensitivity, or session structure to match the client's readiness. Clear communication about why a task is being adjusted helps clients understand the rationale and supports a growth mindset. The rule not only sustains motivation but also supports skill development by ensuring that clients are always operating at the edge of their competence. It balances success with challenge, reinforcing learning without inducing stress. By managing task difficulty in this way, therapists help clients build resilience, increase their self-efficacy, and remain engaged throughout the training course. How you explain biofeedback matters. The way therapists explain biofeedback to clients can significantly influence motivation engagement, and outcomes. Clear, relatable metaphors help demystify the process and convey the client's active role in the learning process. For example, describing biofeedback as coaching a runner with a stopwatch emphasizes that the goal is skill improvement, not passive treatment. Similarly, comparing it to teaching carpentry, not hammering, clarifies that the purpose is to build self-regulation skills, not simply to achieve a specific physiological outcome. Effective explanations align with client expectations, educational level, and learning style. They help clients understand that biofeedback is not a device-driven intervention, but a collaborative process grounded in behavioral science. Educating clients about feedback loops, reinforcement principles, and the role of practice builds realistic expectations and promotes buy-in. This is particularly important for clients unfamiliar with behavioral therapies or those skeptical of technology-based approaches. The therapist's tone, language, and attitude also convey important messages. A calm, confident, and collaborative style invites trust and reinforces the client's sense of agency. Providing simple, concrete examples of successful outcomes and common challenges normalizes the learning curve and reduces anxiety. Encouraging questions and addressing misconceptions early on strengthens the therapeutic alliance and reduces the risk of dropout. Ultimately, how biofeedback is explained shapes how clients perceive their role, the nature of the intervention, and the likelihood of success. Thoughtful communication transforms biofeedback from an abstract concept into a clear, compelling, and empowering journey of learning and change. Conclusion. Biofeedback is a structured, evidence-based learning process that teaches individuals to gain voluntary control over physiological functions through guided feedback. The sophistication of equipment does not define it, but rather by its reliance on behavioral learning principles, self-regulation, and the client's active participation. Clients act on feedback to produce physiological changes, internalize strategies, and generalize these skills to everyday life. Learning is supported by both declarative and non-declarative memory systems and shaped through classical and operant conditioning. Reinforcement, shaping, and individualized strategy development are critical for achieving mastery and long-term integration. Central to effective biofeedback is the role of mindfulness, the purposeful, present-focused, and non-judgmental awareness of internal states. Mindfulness enhances interoceptive sensitivity, supports accurate interpretation of feedback, and stabilizes attention during training. It also moderates the effects of cognitive distraction and emotional reactivity, facilitating deeper learning and improved self-regulation. Therapists who cultivate mindfulness in their practice model this quality for clients, creating a relational space conducive to synchrony and learning. Integrating mindfulness into biofeedback strengthens its therapeutic impact by grounding the trial-and-error process in moment-to-moment awareness and acceptance. The therapist functions as a coach, model, and facilitator, structuring training through progressive difficulty, bidirectional modulation, and space practice. Motivation, shaped by reinforcement history, personal relevance, and the therapeutic alliance, is essential for engagement and retention. Clients who assume an active, exploratory role in training supported by individualized protocols and mindful attention are more likely to develop autonomy and achieve generalization to real-world contexts. Theoretical models of biofeedback converge on the central role of learning, volition, and feedback. While earlier models, such as the drug or placebo framework, emphasize passive effects, more robust paradigms, including the cybernetic, operant, and mastery models, highlight performance, adaptability, and competence. Biofeedback should not be approached as a treatment to administer, but as a skill set to develop, one that promotes resilience, emotional regulation, and physiological flexibility. When explained clearly, delivered mindfully, and grounded in current research, biofeedback empowers individuals to monitor and influence their physiology, manage symptoms, and enhance performance. It offers not only a clinical intervention, but a broader educational and developmental path toward lifelong self-awareness, volitional control, and well-being.